Welcome back to another edition of the Garden Report here on CLNS Media. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, talking a little green. And Bob's got a spot open there for KG on his shirt. You don't want to just put the number 5 and just write it in, Bob?
Yeah, we could do that next time.
Next time we'll write in the number. Bob, now we're going to quiz Bob on the numbers of the Celtics. We taught him in the pod today. Kemba Walker, what number, Bob?
8.
Jaylen Brown?
7.
Jason Tatum?
0.
Good job. You learned a lot today.
That I've learned all these in the last 40 minutes. I never was a huge numbers, you know.
You knew Bird, McHale, and Parrish. That's
not what I mean. In any sport, at any time, it's never been my quest. A lot of people are, you know, huge on numbers, and I know my shit. But I'm not lying. When I got out of bed this morning, if you asked me then, what numbers are those three guys? The only one I would have had a shot at was Tatum.
Hey, were you surprised when DJ went to the rafters?
No.
No, not at all.
No, I would have advocated that. It was about 7 years. That was somehow the cutoff is in there somewhere.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out is KG is 6 years.
Yeah, I could quibble. Anyway, I advocated DJ. I love DJ.
I think we all love DJ.
But, Jeff, the Celtics, you know, compromised this whole concept. They trivialized it. That's the word I'm looking for.
You're right. 7 years for DJ. 7 years ago,
you know, when I started, you know, just making, you know, that we're going to have number 105B and
ridiculous.
102. And I mean, you know, but, and then you always, the inevitable, well, if he's in, why not him? You know,
They need Speaking of who's in, the Celtics are still grappling with trying to get out of this play-in game. Yeah. So how important is it that they get the 6th seed, or does it not matter?
Well, I mean, 6th seed right now looks like it would mean playing Milwaukee. And although, you know, you're going to have to play somebody good eventually.
Right.
And if they played up to their capability, they can beat a lot of people. But I mean, that's the big if that we all know. You want to stay out of that stupid play-in game just because the first, could lose that first game. And, and I think, they would go into if they earn the 6, of course, they'd like to actually do better, and they still theoretically could, but it's not likely. They would go in with a degree of confidence, I think, if they arrive there at that point. But, you know, you don't want to be in the play-in. No, you know, period.
So the big question becomes, okay, let's look at the scenarios. If you lose to Milwaukee, let's say you win a game, maybe 2 against Milwaukee, and you lose. How does that compare with, again, losing to Charlotte in the playing game in terms of how you evaluate the season and what's next for the Boston Celtics, what you need to do?
I suppose if you're Danny, you can't make a distinction. I would think you can't make a distinction. The season will have been a disappointment, that you shouldn't have been in the 6.
Right.
You should have at least have been in the 4. And maybe better. They are going to go down. I mean, who are the other candidates? The most disappointing team in the league. There's certainly
a chief. I guess. I mean, Miami had their share of injuries.
Yeah, but Miami had better reasons.
Indiana had some. You know, I mean, they may not even be in anything.
I would have to do before I go completely crazy. Now,
yeah.
I really have to do a thorough homework research of looking all the teams. And who had COVID and who had injuries exactly. You know, we it's an easy generality that I've been making myself. Okay. Well, everybody's got issues this year. It's a crazy year. You can't make the proper judgments. You can't buy it. All right, but let's get specific. There may be somebody sneaking in around that I haven't been paying attention to, didn't have this kind of level of excuses or reasons. The Celtics had plenty damn good ones.
But they still shouldn't be 6th.
But they still shouldn't be 6. No. And because of the nature of some of the games is so infuriating. Between the blown leads and the atrocious and the needed comebacks that fell short because they got themselves digging a hole. And some of the teams they lost to at the time they lost to them recently, you know, these are not forgivable.
So are you are you with me at this point that if they bow out in either the play-in or the first round of the Bucks and don't give the Bucks a real fight? Like if they go seven to the Bucks,
and yeah, if they go a tough six or good seven, I might have, you know.
Fine. Let's say they go out in five or lose in the play-in. Are you with me? Because I'm there. I'm there at the point. I am. I wasn't there a couple months ago, but I'm there now because I just feel like you're going to have another season like this potentially if you don't make a major move. And for me, the major move is option A is Brad Stevens. Option B is Jaylen Brown. What's behind the door? I don't know, but you got to move one of them because, again, to me, you can't go in with the same cast that you went in this year that underachieved.
If you were 100% certain that the Tatum of the 53 and the 60-point game, the Tatum that sometimes flirts with a triple-double, is the Tatum you're always going to have. You know, for say you do go back to 82 games, you know, 65 or 70 nights of the year, you're going to get that level of player. Then I guess I can sacrifice Jaylen Brown. You know,
I think you'll get there, but I think you need better point guard play. I think that's part of it is again, well, I don't love how these three fit together. That's my biggest problem. Not that they're not really good players. I just don't love how they fit together. That's where I think Bradley Beal, people I think misunderstood me. Now, I do think Bradley Beal is a better player. I do. I think he's a better player. But I think he fits better with Tatum and Kemba than Jaylen Brown does. I understand fully Jaylen Brown is a better defender than Beal. It's not even close. But Beal can move the basketball. He makes better basketball decisions than Jaylen Brown. And I think you have to have a guy like that playing with Tatum and with Kemba. As we've seen, the ball sticks too much. They take crappy shots at the end of the shot clock. When they're good, they're good. They're moving the ball. They're kicking. Yeah. They're driving and kicking. Open threes. They're making them. But ultimately, I think something needs to be done. Otherwise, like, how frustrated are fans going to be if they lose, you know, to Milwaukee and Danny brings back the same core, the same group?
No, I think you're making a very good point. And it's always hard to do these things. That's why you paid it. No, seriously, are you kidding? We say that's why you paid the GM the big money. And Danny has made some major, major moves in his 15. It isn't amazing. It's 15 years or so that he's been on the job. I used to say frequently he's the most fearless GM in the league. And so this would be further, you know.
He could be fearless the other way. He could be fearless the other way and say, you know what? And you know him. You know him better than most. He doesn't really give a shit what people think of him. So you and I could be calling for Brad Stevens' head or them to make a move. And Danny might go golfing and just say, like, I don't care. You can say whatever you want. I'm not listening. I don't care. And that is the beauty of Danny Ainge. He does not care what people think.
We talk a couple of personnel people for a minute. And in terms of your level of optimism that they can actually be a continual, significant use during what's left of this entire season. A, Aaron Nesmith.
I like him. I like him. I always liked them as a shooter. I didn't realize he played as hard. He would play as hard as, but again, you know, you're a rookie.
This is not part of the scouting report.
Right. He plays hard, like gives effort on defense, more athletic than people realized, and can make plays. So I'd much rather see Aaron Nesmith in there than Romeo Langford right now. Like, give me Nesmith all day, every day. Because the one thing Romeo Langford has never done, he's never stayed healthy enough to make shots.
You ask yourself, what did Romeo Langford do to anger the basketball gods?
It's so sad.
Going back to Indiana.
Yes.
They got him when they got him only because he didn't have the career he probably was supposed to have due to injury to start with, right?
That's 100%.
And now, as we speak, we are 24 hours or so away from his latest calamity, which is a practice collision in which he bumped his head, quote unquote, I don't know against whom or what, and he's in the concussion protocol. You need the chart this long, all his maladies.
Yeah. I'm a Nesmith guy. Who else you got before we run? Who else you got?
Evan Fournier. Is he getting?
I mean, you got seven. What do you got? Seven more games here. something like that.
That's a good sample.
Right. Well, I think he just needs it to shake the rust off. Now, again, we saw with Tatum, the problem is the inconsistency coming back from COVID.
Yeah.
And in one game, Tatum could look like out of this world. The next game, to me, it looked like he was running in quicksand. And he was slow. And he didn't have – and you wonder if that's how COVID affects some of these guys. It's just – you know, it's like me being older. Like, there's certain days I feel great and other days that my knee hurts. Like, they're young, but I wonder if COVID does that to even young guys where, like,
I would not underestimate the effects of it. That we've heard and learned the last 15 months or so about the potential lingering effects of it. You got to take it very seriously. I'll leave you with one thing. Is there a more blood rushing sight that the Celtics can provide on an individual player moment than when Jason Tatum puts on one of the great drives? When he puts on one of those drives. I've been watching him play since 1964, up close and personal, and that particular aspect of his game is the greatest I've seen any Celtic player ever.
He's just so smooth. You know, that's what it is. When his game can be so pretty with the way he can move. And, you know, again, listen, we haven't even talked about the 60-point performance and the fact that it should have been 61. If not for the referee who didn't give him the N1 call, but still, is it remarkable to you that we're talking Jason Tatum at this stage of his career? Now, I know it was an overtime game, and I know the game's different. With Larry Bird in the same vein as far as that record.
No, I mean, it's not easy. This puts him in a rarefied category, you know, if you're capable of doing that. And by the way, it was less than a month removed from a 53-point game.
Right.
And that was just so – the parallels are just eerie. That was Larry's previous high.
Right.
53.
Yeah.
Come on. How about Jason Tatum being born 13 years to the day of McHale's 56-point game?
No, I mean –
can't make this stuff up, folks.
It's amazing what he's done at his age, and still people want to crucify him. It's amazing to me. I mean, again, you know me. He can do little wrong in my eyes. I think he's an MVP candidate in a couple of years.
You're lucky to have him.
Right. You cannot get rid of Jason Tatum. There is not. I'm trying to think, is there anybody in the NBA? Is there anybody in the NBA right now that if you said, I'll take him straight up? There are a couple for me.
Yeah, there are.
Luka?
The guy in Denver.
Okay.
The guy in Denver for sure.
I don't know if I do the guy for Denver. The way the game is, I'm not sure I trade Tatum for Jokic.
I thought he's perfectly.
I just don't know if Tatum's ceiling and the position he plays and being able to do more off the bounce.
Here's a tough one, don't you?
Luka. Luka would be the one. Luka would be the one I'd have an argument and say, hey, you know what, for the future. But, like, I don't think there's anybody else.
Anthony
Davis. All the other guys are – Kevin Durant's in his 30s. Like,
Anthony Davis, you'd have to do it.
The injury problems worry me.
Yeah,
right?
That side. And I guess you can't just say that, can you?
That's what I'm saying. When you take every factor in, age, contract, injuries, whatever, I think there's only one guy I would trade Jason Tatum for, and that's Luka.
I'm throwing this out there, Embiid.
No, too injury prone.
Okay.
You know?
I'm going to have to
ponder
this.
No, you think about it, but that's where I stand. Luka. And Tatum, if you're telling me anybody, I can have anybody in the league and start a draft and build around that guy for the next, you know, you have him for the next 7-8 years. Those are 1A and 1B for me.
All right. There you go. I'll
all right.
Rest it there.
There you have it. My Brian, Jeff Goodman, CLNS Media, The Garden Report. Check back every single week.
All right, this has been the Garden Report here on CLNS Media, brought to you by our exclusive online wagering partner, BetOnline. Go to BetOnline.ag, use the promo code CLNS50 for 50% off on your first deposit. Once again, BetOnline.ag, promo code CLNS50 for 50% off on your first deposit. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts.